Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, they look to find fault in him in the past, they couldn't. They look to find fault in him in the present, they can't. Why? Because he was sinless. He was God and man in one. There was no fault in him. But they were trying to find some fault. And see, you notice that, I'm reading verse 55, all the chief priests and all the council sought for witnesses against Yeshua to put him to death, and they found none. I believe, and I'm sure, what attracts you to him, what attracts us to him, is his perfection. His willingness to come down to a world of sin and sins for us. The Holy One of God. Harmless. Hebrews says, we have such a high priest, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. That's Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. So all the council, they're saying, well, let's see if we can find someone to say something wrong about him. And they're seeking to find, and according to verse 55, they found none. No one honestly, faithfully, straightforward, without lying, could say anything wrong against Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. So according to verse 56, for many bear false witnesses against him, but the witnesses agreed not together. In other words, there are some who came along and said something against Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, but apparently it didn't match. And you remember what we read in Scripture? In the book of Deuteronomy, upon two or three witnesses, everything will be established. And so when one person came and said something about Yeshua the Messiah, or another person came, they was not matching. They could not find, their testimony did not agree. There was no agreement with their testimony against Yeshua the Messiah. Now, can you imagine one of the 10 commandments that we have given to our forefathers, to Israel, when Israel came out of Egypt, is, thou shalt not bear false witness. When one give a false witness against another, this is a clear violation of God's law. And here, they are seeking to find some. The high priest himself couldn't find any false against Yeshua. The elders could not find anything wrong with Yeshua. The scribes couldn't find anything wrong against Yeshua. But they are looking around to find someone to say something bad about the lover of their souls, the Messiah himself. You know, when you open the scripture and you read from Genesis, Bereshit, to Revelation, Chazon, you can only find the beauty of the person of the Lord, the attractiveness that is found in him. There was no man like him ever born and ever will be born. All have fallen short of the glory of God, but there was one man by the name of Yeshua who was a perfect man. That's why he is the only one who is qualified to be our Mashiach, our Messiah, and the Savior of this world. Well, many sought to bear a false witness against him. Their witness agreed not together. In other words, there are some even dared to say things that were wrong against the Lord, but it didn't match. Can you imagine how it frustrated Caiapha? Can you imagine how it frustrated the elders? Can you imagine how much it frustrated the Sanhedrin, The Sanhedrin is 71 elders, spiritual leaders of Israel, which God actually requested for Moses in Numbers chapter 11 to raise 70 men who are godly men in whom he can have confidence, plus Moses, together 71 men where the Spirit of God was leading them to take care of the people of Israel. And you can see here an opposite condition existing here. They are trying to find fault with Yeshua, the Messiah, but they found none. And so, after verses 55 and 56 of Mark chapter 14, where they are seeking, the Sanhedrin, the assembly, seeking for witness against Yeshua, the Messiah, then we find out of those that somehow managed to find some accusation against the Lord, which was actually wrong accusation. In verses 57, 58, and 59, there was some who rose to give a false witness against the Lord. And you notice when they say what they say, they do not even quote it. They add to it or subtract from what the Lord has said earlier in his life. And notice that very interesting statement here in verse 57. There arose certain and bear, notice clearly, false witness against him, and they said. Look at their false witness against Yeshua the Messiah, those certain that rose there, and they said, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. And then he said in verse 59, but neither so did their witness agreed together. But notice what they're doing here. They could not find anything wrong with Yeshua the Messiah. So they tried to find some fault in his saying that he said some three and a half years earlier. Remember now, in this Mark chapter 14, Yeshua is in the last day of his life, really. Just the next morning, they will put him on a cross, the Roman cross. Then he will be doing the midday for 6 hours on the tree. And about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he will die at the end of the day. And so what we find here now, that they accused him of something that he said years earlier, about 3.5 years earlier, at the temple in the city of Jerusalem. What did he say? Now, if you turn with me to John chapter 2, we are back now to the time where the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, have cleansed the temple the first time. The Lord Jesus, Yeshua, cleansed the temple twice. John chapter 2 was the first time in the earlier days of his ministry. And then later on, he have done so again in the later part of his life, about a few years later. But you notice what we read in John chapter 2 and verse 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign you show unto us, seeing that you do those things? In other words, he cleansed the temple. If you remember, he removed the money changers. He removed those who sold oxen and so on in the temple, having those business going on in the house of God. He cleansed the temple. And then they came to him, this is the Jewish leaders, the spiritual leaders of Israel, and they said to him, what sign do you show to us when you're doing those things? Show us a sign. Who are you? So we read here in verse 19, Yeshua answered and said unto them, notice that, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. He, Yeshua, said to them, you destroyed this temple. You'll see that he's applying to his body. You destroyed this temple, and I will raise it after 3 days. And so we read in verse 20, then said the Jewish leaders, 46 years was this temple in building, and will thou rear it up in 3 days? The temple was already in building for so many years. According to here, 46, actually, the total amount of years it took to rebuild the temple by Herod and others was 80-something years, 84 years. So notice that they're already 40 years in building, and then you're going to rear it up in 3 days? And then the next verse says, in verse 21, it says, but he spake of the temple of his body. And then verse 22 says, when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Yeshua had said. In other words, the Lord Jesus the Messiah was saying in John chapter 2 and verse 19 that you are going to destroy, in other words, to kill this temple, you are going to destroy this temple, namely his body. You're going to put me eventually to death. But I will be resurrected after 3 days. He's speaking about his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, what do these false witnesses do? They take this statement of the Lord that applied to himself, who will have to die and be resurrected on the third day, and they accuse him as if he was speaking of the temple that existed there in the city of Jerusalem. So back to Mark chapter 14 and verse 58, these witnesses come and they say, he said, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands. Notice they are adding some words. And within 3 days, I will build another made without hands. They again add these words. See what happened, beloved brothers and sisters? And they accuse him now as if he was speaking about the temple in Jerusalem, which the spiritual leaders of Israel and all the nation was going to worship there every day. So they were really accusing him as if he was going to be a rebel that is going to fight and destroy the temple itself there and then rebuild it again. In other words, they are warning everyone, hey, he's going to destroy this temple. That's what he said some 3.5 years ago. But according to John, we learned very well that Yeshua is not talking about the temple, he's speaking about the temple of his body. You're going to put my body to death. I will resurrect it. God will raise my body. I will be resurrected on the third day. And you see, here's the accusation. But apparently, those who accuse him, even their witnesses was not agreed together. They could not find any fault in Yeshua the Messiah. Just to remind you, beloved brothers and sisters, the purpose of the coming of the Lord was to lay down his life. John 10, he said, I lay down my life of myself that I might take it again. No man taketh my life for me. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. This commandment that I received of my Father. Nobody could take his life. He lay it down of himself. He allowed men by wicked hands to take him and ultimately put him on a shameful Roman cross. What a condition man had been at. And so here he says, destroy this temple and I will raise it on the third day, John chapter 2. Here those who accused him, the false witnesses. Twice it's mentioned here in verse 56. Many bear false witness. Verse 57. Arose certain that bear false witness against him. Those who accuse him falsely. And therefore, even their witness did not agree at all with each other. What a sad thing we see here of the accusation against the Lord. Now notice that, let's move along here, because in the next verses, 60 and 61a, now we find out that the high priest took the charge into his own hand. This is Caiaphas. Caiaphas now wanted to take charge over this, because They were seeking for witnesses. Nothing happened. No one could accuse him. And even those that accuse him about destroy this temple made with hand, and in 3 days you will build it, another one together, they saw very well that they could not charge him upon this statement. And their statement was false. What he meant, he speaks of his death and resurrection. And so now the high priest taking charge. Apparently, he got to a point that he wanted as soon as possible to do away from Yeshua, who claimed to be the Messiah, because he himself was not appreciated anymore, because many was following after Yeshua, the Messiah. So notice what the high priest is doing. In verse 60 and 61a, the high priest, Caiaphas, charged Yeshua to say something, to speak for himself. And so it says in verse 60, the high priest stood up in the midst. Imagine the whole Sanhedrin surrounding him, the elders, the scribes, the chief priests all surround him. And he's standing there in the front there beside the Messiah himself. And he's saying to Yeshua, he's saying unto him, answer thou nothing to their accusation? Do you have anything to say? Answer thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses witness against thee? Don't you say anything? And you notice the Lord in verse 61, Yeshua, but he held his peace and he answered nothing. He didn't say a word. And you know, brothers and sisters, again, I would like to suggest that that is exactly what the prophet Isaiah said about the Messiah who would come at his first coming. That he will go as a lamb to the slaughter and he will not open his mouth. He will say nothing. You see what we read in Isaiah 53. And verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Isaiah was writing to our forefathers Israel 750 years before the Messiah came. And he was predicting what behavior the Messiah will have when he will come. So he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before a shearer is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. Twice in verse 7 of Isaiah 53, yet he opened not his mouth. In Mark chapter 14, in verse 61, but he, that is Yeshua, held his peace, and he answered nothing. Accusation against him. Those that said wrong things about him, and he didn't say anything. Now, isn't it amazing when you really think how different when somebody speaks against us? We revile very quickly. What are you saying this against me? Why? And then we respond back. We want to accuse someone else. You said it. You did it. And instead of leaning on the Lord and trusting in the Lord, we respond immediately because we don't like to be accused. But he was accused wrongfully. There was nothing wrong that he had done. And yet he held his peace. And he answered nothing. In Hebrew, it says, "Vehu hecherish." Velo heshiv davar. He was silent. He didn't respond to all the accusation against him. As a lamb, he was led to the slaughter. So he opened not his mouth. And we go back in history and we think of the many sacrifices of all that had been killed on the altar that God demanded from our forefathers to kill, and all these animals could not say a word. They were taking them, they were slaughtering them, they were pouring its blood, they were shedding it. For example, when Israel came out of Egypt on the doorpost and the lintel, the lamb did not say a thing. And that's how God could atone for the sins of Israel, of our people of old. And the Messiah now came, and he fulfilled every form and shape what these lambs and rams and goats and oxen of old that have been offered on an altar. And he is now ready to offer himself as a sacrifice for sin. He did not open his mouth. And so now the high priest was even getting more, you might say, upset, because he sought for false witnesses. It did not agree with each other. Then he finally found some to accuse him, and they're accusing him over something that he said, which is wrong, that he's not accusing about it. And now he's getting to a point that he's speaking to Yeshua, and he said to him, "Don't you speak for yourself? Don't you stand for yourself?" And Yeshua held his peace, the calmness, and he answered nothing. Now, what would you do when you are accused by people surrounding you, ready to accuse him? You know, in history, we find out how many people have been accused wrongly and even put in prison for many years. And then later on, they found out they are not even guilty. And this person lost all his life sitting in prison for something he or she have never done. And here we see the Messiah, the supreme example, is not saying a word. But you see, the high priest is not going to give in. Caiaphas have already said that it is better that one will die for all the nation, that all the nation will suffer. So the high priest is intending to come to a point where he can find something to accuse Yeshua. And so notice that now in verse 60, 1b, in verse 62, the high priest now asks a second question. You see, the first question was, "Don't you answer for yourself?" He said to him, "Answer thou nothing?" He said. But now notice the second question in verse 61b. Then again the high priest asked him, and he said unto him, "Art thou the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed?" In Hebrew, Ha'ata hu ha-Mashiach ben ha-Mevorach. Are you the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Son of the Mevorach, of the Blessed? The Blessed One is God. In other words, for one reason or another, he understood that the Hebrew scripture promised when the Messiah will come, he will be the Son of God, the Son of the Blessed One. So he asked him this question. Art thou the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed? Are you the Mashiach, the Son of God? You see, he wanted eventually that Yeshua will say something that he could say, "Here it is, I caught you in your own words, and therefore I can declare you a blasphemy person and eventually will accuse you and send you to Pilate." And so notice that the answer of Yeshua the Messiah. He is answering here with just two words. You might say in Hebrew, you would say one word, where it says here, and Yeshua said. Here's when finally Yeshua come up with a statement as a response to the leaders of those days. He only said to them, "I am." In Hebrew we say, "Anochi," or "Ani." Are you the Mashiach, the Son of the Blessed One, the Son of God? The answer is, "I am." Anochi. O ani, ken, I am the Messiah, I am the Son of God, the Son of the Blessed One. Now, just think with me for a moment. The Hebrew scriptures have predicted many years ago that when a Messiah will come, he will be God the Son of God. You remember what Isaiah, we always seem to quote Isaiah, because Isaiah is the one that spoke the most, you might say, give us vivid information about the coming Messiah. Unto us a child is born, Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Unto us a son had been given, is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, or the Father of Eternity, and the Prince of Peace. Wonderful Counselor. This is Pele, Yoetz. A Mighty God, El Gibor. And then Everlasting Father, or correctly, the Father of Eternity, Aviad. And finally, the Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom. And so the Son that was given is the one that is called the Mighty God. God sent his Son to be the Savior of this world. You see, that's what Isaiah has said years ago before the Messiah came. Notice what the psalmist of Israel, David, says in Psalm 2 when he was speaking about the Messiah in verse 7. I will declare a decree. The Lord said unto me, you are my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Verse 12 of Psalm 2, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. He is the Ben HaElohim. He is the Son of God. That's the one of whom the Hebrew prophets have spoken about from generation to generation. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 4, the question was raised, who has ascended up to heaven or descended? Who has gathered the winds in his fist? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the end of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name? If you can tell.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.